Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro.
Greetings, programs, and we're back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
So, lovely weather we're having lately. It's actually starting to get cold.
My favorite kind of weather is when I can wake up and I can put my cardigan on inside my house. I can wear it at work. It's great. It's so great.
Yeah, I like being able to not sweat all the time. That's my favorite part of this time of the year. No sweating.
So at your work, does it get like drastically cold around this time of year?
Well, it does. But if anybody doesn't know, I do graphic design and screen printing. And the shop I work in, the actual shop part, doesn't have air conditioning or heating. But in the winter, it's better because of all the heating elements that are in there. Keep it quite warm. But usually it's pretty cold in the mornings though, when you get in there and nothing's been running all night. So it takes a little while for it to warm up, but during the summer, it's awful.
Yeah. I've heard you tell stories about that, but that does make sense though, with the equipment. It's just, I love having the house be like a nice crisp feeling. It's so good.
I sleep so good
when it's like that.
I just like being able to have like a midday cup of coffee without dying.
Got to switch over to that iced coffee during the summer.
That's what I do, yeah. But sometimes I can't get out of the shop, so I don't get my midday coffee, and I have a hard crash in the afternoon because I'm getting to be an old man, and I need a nap.
Hey, I know what you mean. Dude, on Sunday, I slept for 3 hours during the day.
Really?
Because, yeah, so I worked a wedding filming it on Saturday, and it was like a 10-hour day. And I got this, it's called a gimbal, where you put your camera on it and you can like move it around like a handheld, but the camera doesn't move.
Yeah.
So you don't lose any like stability. Mm-hmm. By the end of the night, I couldn't grip anything really with my hands because I've been holding it for so long. But yes, Sunday I went to sleep around noon and woke up at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
See, I wish I could do that. I can't take naps. Like I could be so tired during the day, but if I try to take a nap, I'll get like maybe 7 minutes of a nap.
And usually I can't, but I was just so tired from the day before. And then, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday, we were kind of all over the place. So I guess it all kind of caught up with me.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's now over. Christmas is barreling upon us, and I need to get some presents. So that's my mission.
Have you watched any Christmas movies yet?
I don't think so. Not that I can recall.
I've watched The Santa Claus, but that's about it. The first one with Tim Allen. Watched that Thanksgiving night, but other than that, haven't really had a chance to yet. But I've got my usual list, you know, like Christmas Vacation, mm-hmm. The Grinch, of course, Die Hard. Yeah, because it is a Christmas movie.
It's not Christmas till Hans Gruber falls from the Nakatomi Plaza.
Exactly. I don't know if you remember this, but a couple of years ago, I think it was Christmas Eve, or it might have been the day before Christmas Eve, I found like a fake news graphic of Nakatomi Plaza being attacked by terrorists.
Yeah.
And there were some people that got it, but there were some that thought it was like a legit thing.
See, you can't do that these days. People take stuff too seriously nowadays.
Oh, but it was so funny though. Like I had a good time, and I won't name who it was, but no one that you guys know, but I had some fun at their expense.
And Rampage in the chat room yelling at us, "It's not Monday." Well, yeah.
Thankfully, it's not Monday.
Well, I mean, if you don't want us to do the show tonight, we can go ahead and shut it down, and you guys won't have a show this week.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a nice warm quesadilla waiting for me after this is over. So I'll close up shop and go eat.
Oh man!
But I'm excited for this show. I'm excited for this episode in particular.
Yeah, we're going to talk about what's in store for the future of Nintendo. But first, we got a little bit of news to get to. Ready to jump into it?
Let's do it.
Some of tonight's stories were submitted to us by Donner, Party of Five. And if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And the first story is from Reuters.com. Sony facing $7.9 billion mass lawsuit over PlayStation store prices. They face a lawsuit worth up to £6.3 billion, or $7.9 billion, over claims that the PlayStation maker abused its dominant position, leading to unfair prices for customers, a London tribunal ruled on Tuesday. They were sued last year on behalf of nearly 9 million people in the United Kingdom who had bought digital games or add-on content through Sony's PlayStation Store. Alex Neal, a consumer advocate who has worked on previous campaigns, is bringing the case against Sony, which is valued at up to £5 billion plus interest. The company abused its position by requiring digital games and add-ons to be bought and sold only via the PlayStation Store, which charges a 30% commission to developers and publishers. The claim alleges customers have therefore paid higher prices for games and add-on content than they would have done. Sony's lawyers argued the case was flawed from start to finish, and it should be thrown out. Neil said in a statement, "The first step in ensuring consumers get back what they're owed." Sony did not immediately respond to request for comment. So Sony getting slapped with a nice little chunk of change. I mean, $7.9 billion is nothing to sneeze at.
If you can get sued for almost $8 billion, you've got way too much money.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what to think of this story. I mean, that's the first thing that jumps out at me, is that it's just an astronomical amount of money.
Yeah, but, you know, the UK does crack down a lot harder on this type of stuff than the US does. So whatever happens in the United Kingdom, we feel the reverberations of. I mean, that's why every time you go to a website now, it says, will you allow cookies? That's because of rulings in the UK, you know, over cookies. And so we're going to feel this in America. I don't know if Sony's going to lower prices or what they're going to do, but, you know, there's going to be reverberations over this.
Yeah, this definitely won't be the last that we hear of this story, and it makes you wonder, like, what kind of lasting effect it might have, just because if you look at the economy in general, everything is just so expensive. Like, we say it in passing, but it's really true. Like, you look at the housing market, you look at mm-hmm. gaming, you look at food, you look at everything. It's just ridiculously expensive.
And when it comes to
and
gaming,
it makes you wonder, like, when the bubble's gonna burst.
Yeah,
like whenever that may be.
Oh, it's gonna happen, and especially with gaming. I always wondered why digital purchases cost the exact same as buying it a physical copy, because there's no production involved in packaging, artwork, stuff like that. I mean, there's artwork, but, you know, it's just a JPEG that you're getting when you get downloadable stuff. So I don't know. I've always been the type of person to think if I do want to just buy a digital purchase of a game, it should be cheaper. I mean,
yeah, you're right.
It should be, you know.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, because you don't have to worry about packaging, labeling. I mean, I assume you just upload a file to a server.
Yeah.
And you download it from there, and that's...
And that's not saying I don't like physical media. I would rather have physical media. Like, I will pay, you know, $5 more or $10 more to get the physical media of something. But, you know, if I just want to get, say, like, you know, Spider-Man 2, if I had a PlayStation 5, why is it not like $10, $12 cheaper to just get a digital copy of it?
Because it's all about the money.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. But yeah, this won't be the last that we hear of this story. And I'm really curious as to what kind of effect this is going to have. Let's see. Our next story comes to us from GameRant.com. Nintendo Switch Online gets updated release schedule for upcoming N64 games. The Nintendo Switch Online subscription service gets an update regarding its expansion pack tier, as Nintendo provided a new schedule for future N64 titles that will be added to the service. As of this writing, it's made 26 different N64 games available to play for the Switch Online expansion pack. It's continuing to add games to the service, such as Rare's classic third-person sci-fi shooter Jet Force Gemini, which will be coming this December. Updated schedule was posted on Nintendo's official Japanese website. It shows four titles scheduled to be released alongside GoldenEye 007 in December in Japan. The section also lists 1080 Snowboarding and Harvest Moon 64, with these two titles being the next ones in line to be added to the service in Japan. Harvest Moon likely won't be added to the North American service for a while, possibly due to the complicated naming situation between Harvest Moon and Story of Seasons, which is interesting. They didn't make this article really easy to read.
Yeah, I know. It's weird because, you know, they talk about they're going to be adding stuff, but it's mostly in Japan. Like, what are we getting here in America?
Well, there is a note I want to say about this whenever we get to our predictions for the future of Nintendo. I'm being very optimistic with mine as a little preface, but it does have something to do with this story.
Okay.
I mean, it's cool. Like, I've never played Harvest Moon 64. I would love to play it on the Switch. Whether we get to or not, I have no idea, but hey, those in Japan will get to, so good for them.
Next story is from EventHubs.com. Over 27 years after its initial release, Virtual Fighter 3 is getting a new version. Virtual Fighter may not exactly be the 3D juggernaut it was in the 90s, but Sega is finding some new ways to keep the support going. Sega announced this week that Virtual Fighter 3 TB Online... that'll be releasing in just a few days, though there will be a different new way to play the game soon as well. This new version will be coming to the all.net arcade systems starting November 28th, so it'll basically be exclusive for Japan for now. Let's see, the modern release won't make any balance changes and will pretty much focus on adding online support, likely based on what they previously did with Virtual Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown in 2021. Let's see. Well, they do have the trailer here, but I don't ever remember playing Virtual Fighter 3. I mean, if it's being released in Japan, I'm sure it's going to come here pretty soon after.
I do remember the name Virtua Fighter. I remember hearing about it back in the 90s. I never played any of the games because it seemed like, you know, those types of fighting games were a dime a dozen between Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. Then you had Super Smash Brothers that came out. So, well, and you had Soul Calibur also. So, I remember it, but I never played it, so I couldn't tell you if it's any good or not. But I mean, I still think that's pretty cool.
I remember playing the first one because it was all over the place in arcades and stuff when I was a kid.
Yeah, maybe eventually it will get released here in the States and, you know, finally get to check it out.
Yeah.
Last story from comicbook.com. Silent Hill 2 remake developer tells fans to ask Konami about new info.
I love this.
Bloober Team, I love that name. The developer behind the upcoming remake of Silent Hill 2 has told fans that they'll need to ask Konami if they want to receive more information on the game. Over a year ago, Konami announced that it was remaking Silent Hill 2 with Bloober Team and would release the title on PS5 and PC in the future. Since the initial announcement, though, new details have come about, which has left fans both eager and a bit worried. Now, Bloober Team itself has released a new statement and has made clear that Konami is the one choosing to remain silent for the time being. Bloober Team says on November 21st of this year, Konami is the publisher of the game and communication is definitely part of their job.
Talk about passive aggressive.
Yeah, just a little bit. Well, somebody's not happy with Konami. Currently, there's very little that we know about this remake of Silent Hill 2 overall. Outside of its first teaser trailer that was shown off, Konami still hasn't given fans a look at actual gameplay from SH2 just yet. And there's no broad release window for the game either. Yeah, that's not great.
I'll be honest, I don't think this is going to come out.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the KOTOR remake. Because we keep hearing, oh, it's in development, and then like, oh, no, it's dead. And then an hour later, nope, it's still going to happen.
Well, I just don't have a whole lot of faith in Konami at this point. I mean, if they really want people to have faith in them again and get back into the gaming market, they need to put something out about Silent Hill 2. Because I was kind of excited when they announced they were doing a remake, because the original one scared the crap out of me. I had to stop playing that game. So I was kind of interested to see what a remake would be like, because I know it would be even scarier. So, but now, I don't know if this is ever even going to see the light of day.
Well, you know, I hope it does, because I know Silent Hill, like, it has its fan base. I would be interested to check it out if it were to come out. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see, but yeah,
we'll see.
The lack of communication is not a good sign. Yeah, I will say that much.
It just boggles my mind that Konami is sitting on so many well-known IPs that if they started just cranking out games with all the IPs that they own, like new Metal Gear stuff, Castlevania, Contra, like all the stuff that they have, that they're just doing nothing with. Like, what happened to the once great Konami?
I mean, they have enough in their archive that they could do re-releases and remakes for years. Then eventually release, like, original content, whether it be completely new games or sequels to things that they've made before.
And I mean, just with the
I guess it makes too much sense to do.
Just with the Castlevania property alone, I mean, with the Castlevania series that came out on Netflix, they missed a golden opportunity to put out a new Castlevania game. And I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand these companies sometimes.
It seemed like a no-brainer that would happen. Like, it'd be a great tie-in.
Who knows?
But, yeah. Oh, speaking of the cartoon for Castlevania, I meant to send you this earlier, but someone used Unreal Engine 5 to make Ocarina of Time into an anime.
Really?
And it looks incredible.
That's cool.
I'll send it in our group chat whenever we're done. But it's like 20 minutes long, but it's really cool.
I've been meaning to ask you too, if anybody out there has seen the new season of Castlevania and what you think of it, because I only got about 4 episodes in and I stopped because I was kind of bored.
I haven't started it yet.
It's not as good as the first 2 seasons by far.
That's disappointing because those first 2 seasons were amazing.
Excellent. And I don't know what it
is. And I didn't grow up with Castlevania, and I only know about it from us talking about it, and I loved it.
I'm just not connecting with any of the characters. Like, I don't care about what's going on. I'm just kind of, I don't know, there's just something lacking with the new season, and it's really disappointing me.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
That really is a shame.
I was really looking forward to it, too, and as soon as it dropped, I watched the first couple episodes, and I was like, this just ain't for me. I don't like it. But anyway.
That's disappointing.
if you give it a watch and let me know what you think. Watch the first couple episodes. Let me know what you think. I might jump back in, finish it out, but I don't know. I'll wait and see what you say about it.
Okay.
But before we go into this month of video game history, I do want to tell everybody about our mobile game partner, Globe Glider. If you like action-adventure platformers, and we know you do, Globe Glider is for you. Make a donation to the game using our partnership is quick and easy. You just simply hit the donate button and select Nerd Cave Retro as your referral partner to unlock a sweet in-game prize like an exclusive Nerd Cave Retro cape. So download Globe Glider now on the App Store or Google Play. So now it is time to go into this month in video game history. In November of 1982, Konami releases Time Pilot, back when they actually made games.
I do like the name Time Pilot, and I like the poster.
It sounds like a low-budget movie from, like, the 80s.
I was about to say, if you got Back to the Future on Wish,
yeah,
it would be Time Pilot.
Time Pilot.
Oh, speaking of Back to the Future, did you know they're doing a Back to the Future musical? In New York?
No, I did not.
They did a demo of it during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And like I was intrigued by it. But the guy who played Doc Brown was not great. He had about as much business being Doc Brown as I do.
That's a shame.
I know, because I'm like, yeah, you want to get Marty right, but
yeah,
there's one role you want to nail is Doc Brown.
You really got to get Doc right if you're going to do something like that.
Maybe he just had a bad day, but I don't know. He just had like maybe a fraction of Christopher Lloyd's charisma.
Maybe he was just not into being in the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Maybe so. But either way, like I like the flyer for Time Pilot, like the font reminds me of something right out of the 70s, more so than the 80s.
Yeah, definitely poster worthy on the wall.
Oh, yeah. November of 1986, Sega releases Alex Kidd in Miracle World. It is the first game in the Alex Kidd series created for this character and the most popular of all Alex Kidd games.
And I couldn't get into the Alex Kidd. I tried. I think I reviewed it not too long ago, didn't I? Because I remember playing it, and it was just, it was like trying to be a Mario clone and failing miserably.
And I mean, this was a year after Mario came out. So, yeah, this would have been when people were trying to create the next Mario. And I get it. Like, you want to try and put your own spin on something that became iconic. But there's a reason why Sonic is the only mascot that is in that same stratosphere.
100%. Sonic is cool.
Yeah. And it's different. It's not the same as Mario.
Let's see. November 21st of 1991, Nintendo releases The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past for the Super Famicom in Japan. Never heard of it.
What I would give to play this game for the first time again.
Oh, really? No kidding.
That'd be a good top 5 list. Top 5 games you wish you could play again for the first time.
That is a good list.
It's like when somebody says they've never seen Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what I would give to like go tell my 4-year-old self what they're about to experience.
Yeah, but then you have people that are like, I've never watched it. And then you're like, all right, we got to watch it. And you make them watch it and they're like, that was stupid. And you're like, all right.
You just give them a stone cold stunner and call it a day.
Out of nowhere.
But no, I mean, what else could I say about this game? You know, it's
one of the best games ever made.
It's my favorite. Yeah, it's my favorite game of all time. But another one of my favorite games of all time, November 20th of 2000, Rare releases Banjo-Tooie for the N64 in North America. I remember this was like when the internet was really starting to get big. And I was looking at, you know, websites like IGN and GameFAQs every day, finding out anything I could about this game because I loved Banjo-Kazooie so much.
Yeah.
And as you know, with Nintendo back in the day, they delay a game, then they delay it again. And I thought this game was supposed to come out in 99, but it got pushed back to 2000. And it doesn't get the credit it deserves, in my opinion, because of Banjo-Kazooie and kind of the standard that it set for platformers. But Banjo-Tooie is a good game in its own right.
Yeah, I still have never really played the Banjo games. I still need to do that.
You know, I had an idea. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show, but we should pick a month where we each pick what the other person reviews.
Ooh, I like that. Let's do that.
And yeah,
it could also be something we've done before, too. We're just going to flip it.
Yeah, well, like a game that, like, say that I really like, but you've never played.
Mm-hmm.
And then vice versa.
Or it could even be something we absolutely hated, and we have to share that misery with the other person.
Well, see, I was going to be nice about it. But now that you bring that up.
Derek gets to play Fester's Quest every week for a month.
Now, what did I do to deserve that?
But that brings us to the end of this month of video game history. And Derek, before we go into our discussion for tonight, do you want to do our shout outs?
Absolutely. We want to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out our newest patron, Yup Fed, a.k.a. Knife, James, a.k.a. at Jimbo Jr. on Discord, Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B Res Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, Axblade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, aka I am the
Rampage,
Steph Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Mr. Joey Image, and of course, Mama Diamond herself.
Mama Diamond.
Donna Diamond. Thank you, as always, for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast. And for as little as $1 a month, you can't get coffee beans for that. Like, we're going farther down the line instead of gas station coffee. You can't get coffee beans for $1.
Yeah.
For cheaper than coffee beans.
You can literally just find $1 on the ground in a parking lot over the course of a month. So just get that change, bend over, pick those quarters up, send them to us.
If you've got a Walmart, if you've got a Publix, if you've got a mall, fancy like the Target. You could just walk around in the parking lot and you can find some quarters, maybe some dimes, whatever it takes. It all adds up to $1. Yeah, send that on over to us. You get early access to our fun commentary tracks. Like for this month for Thanksgiving, we did the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special. Me, you, and Wally did.
You know, I went back and listened to that this last week, and that was a really good episode because we barely talked about the special.
Well, it's not the best Charlie Brown special.
There's not much to talk
about. Let's be honest, it's not... It don't hold a candle to the Christmas one.
And most of it is just Snoopy fighting lawn furniture. Like, there's not much to it.
Yeah, I mean, that was about the most interesting part of the whole
special. It was basically
just
another episode of us just waxing nostalgic. So if you like to listen to us talk about being all nostalgic and stuff, just go check that episode out.
We got to figure out what we're going to do for Christmas, too.
I know. Well, we talked about do we really want to do that? The holiday special.
Oh yeah. We haven't heard anything. Like
no.
I figured we would have had like people banging down the doors like, yes, do the holiday special.
I don't think anybody else wants to watch it either. That's why they're not clamoring for us to do
no.
that.
No, that might, if we end up doing that, I might end up having some eggnog, and I'm not even an eggnog fan.
Because I'll go ahead and say this, the Star Wars holiday special is by far one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. Like when I was 100%. Watching it, I was just watching it like, how did this get made? Like, how did was this allowed to be put out to the public? Because it is horrible.
I'll give it this. I did like the animated portion with Boba Fett.
That's the only part.
That was kind of cool.
That's the only part worth watching.
Yeah, the rest of it is... Oof.
It's beyond terrible.
Yeah, it's bad. But we'll see. We'll see what we're going to do for Christmas.
Yeah.
But if you want to sign up, head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And if you do sign up and become a patron, send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter/X, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Shout out.
And tonight, we're not doing a review. Like we said, we're doing a discussion. So what we're talking about tonight is basically our predictions for the future of Nintendo. And I wrote about 6 or 7 here, and Derek did the same. And I just kind of went out there with some of my predictions of what's in the future for Nintendo. And I know Wally's going to yell at me about these. And I don't know if any of these are going to come true. But like I said, they're just predictions of crazier things have happened in the past. So we'll get started. I'll go ahead and say, for my first one, I'll say the new console is going to be announced in the first quarter of 2024, and it will be released for Christmas of 2024.
And I'm right there with you. I put it as my first two. I think it would be cool if they announced it on the, like, to the date of when the Switch was released, which was in early March. I don't remember the exact date, but it was March of 2017 when it came out. So I think it'd be kind of cool to kind of start the beginning of the end of the Switch lineup mm-hmm. on the anniversary of when it was released. And I think you release it in, you know, like late November or mid-November, like is in years past. I remember like the GameCube and even consoles before that would come out between September and November. I think that'd be cool to kind of get the excitement for the holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they want to get that holiday season business too, because I say it, and one of my other predictions is it will be more expensive because there will be more power under the hood. They want to keep the handheld market, so they need to take out the Steam Deck or at least be on par and slightly cheaper. Steam Decks go for about $599, you know, $600, $700 for a Steam Deck. And I think the days of the $200 to $300 consoles are pretty much going to be are over with. I think Nintendo, the next console, is going to have a lot more under the hood, and it's going to be the cheap model. They'll come out with two different models, a cheaper model that's going to be $399 and then one that's going to be beefy that's going to be $499. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. Like, yeah, the Switch graphics aren't terrible.
They're not
I mean,
great.
Do they hold a candle to the PS5 or the Xbox? No.
No.
But at some point, they gotta realize that they've gotta at least be on par mm-hmm. with, and I'm gonna say they're gonna be slightly downgraded from the PS5.
Yeah.
But I do think it will be more expensive. I like the idea of doing a cheaper model versus like a, I don't want to call it a special edition, but like the premium edition
yeah.
is, I guess, what you would call it.
Yeah, there'd be one with like 500 gigs and one with a terabyte, you know, a little more RAM, stuff like that. Because this is my other prediction that not only will it still be a hybrid console, but I will keep saying this, and I've predicted this before, Game Pass will be allowed on the new console. You will be able to access Game Pass with your new Nintendo console, because what does Nintendo have to lose by putting Game Pass on their system, especially if it's good enough to handle whatever Game Pass throws at it?
That would be insane if that happened. Like that would be one that, like, I would have never predicted that to happen. But I mean, Microsoft and Nintendo have gotten along in the past. Mm-hmm. I think it would be unreal. Like, I will be shocked if that happens. Like, I want it to happen. Like, I want you to be right. Because I would love to be able to get Game Pass on a Nintendo console.
Think of all the people that they'll be able to get into the Nintendo ecosystem if they do that. Because there's a lot of people out there that like, you know, the Game Pass and Xbox and, you know, more, you know, quote unquote adult gaming that would never buy a Nintendo console, but don't really want to get like an Xbox, but want to have something handheld, a new, more powerful console from Nintendo would get those people in because they can play Game Pass in a, you know, mobile form, a hybrid form. And you know, if they get those people into the ecosystem, that's a lot more people for Nintendo buying that console.
And, no, I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
And Microsoft doesn't lose anything. I mean, they gain because Game Pass is their thing. They've always lost money on the Xbox console. That is a loss leader for Microsoft. They want Game Pass to be the thing. They want Game Pass on everything. And if they can get it on a Nintendo console, which the Switch has sold how many units now? Like 164 million units. Imagine if they would have Game Pass available for the Switch now. That's a, and if they only got 10% of those people on Game Pass, that still would be like 16 million more people subscribed to Game Pass if they were just on the current Switch.
What are you going to do if you end up being right about this?
Oh, I'm going to rub it in Wally's face so hard.
Oh, man. I had a feeling you were going to say that. No, I hope you're right. Well, but I will say I will be shocked if it does happen. Looking at it from knowing Nintendo and their history, I don't see it, but I hope I'm wrong and I hope you're right.
Yeah, but the only reason I'm thinking this way is because they don't have anything to lose by putting Game Pass on there. It's not going to take business away from them. It's going to bring people in. Yeah, they might not everybody that gets it for the Game Pass is going to buy Nintendo software, but they might. You know, they might get the new Mario game or whatever they got coming out. I mean, that's a lot of new people to pull in to a new console. And speaking of new games, I think the launch games, here's some predictions for launch games for the next Nintendo console. Mario Odyssey 2 is going to be a launch game. Also, a new Metroid game. It might not be a launch game, but it'll be very close to the front. A new Metroid game. And another absolute launch game will be Mario Kart 9.
I mean, the Mario Kart 9 is due to happen. They've milked 8 for, yeah. God, I don't think there's any milk left in it.
No, that thing is a rock at this point, trying to get moisture out of a rock at this point. So they've got to come out. And I would have said Zelda. Maybe they'll do.
That's way too soon for Zelda.
But Zelda's already out, so they might do, you know, a remastered version of Tears of the Kingdom for the new console. But you know, it's gonna be. They're sitting on Mario Odyssey 2. Mario Odyssey was too good of a game to not have a sequel to it.
I would love a Mario Odyssey 2.
I would too.
And I have something kind of similar with my predictions. I put launch games will be a new 3D Mario. I don't know if it will be a sequel to Mario Odyssey, but I think we will get a new 3D Mario game, whether it's Odyssey 2 or something completely different. I think because you're not going to have Zelda, you got to have your mascot at launch.
Yep.
I think we're going to get a new Star Fox.
Yes.
I think that'll be a surprise that they will unveil. Hopefully something along the lines of a Star Fox 64 and not Star Fox Adventures, even though I did like that game. Metroid Prime 4, it needs to happen. We've been waiting for it long enough.
Yeah,
it's got to happen. And because of the success of the Mario RPG remake, I think it would be really cool if they announced a remastered Earthbound.
Yes.
That will come out at launch time. Similar to Mario RPG with, you know, updated graphics, more of a, like, I know you had that top down kind of it was really 2D. There wasn't much three dimensional to it. But if you fully remastered Earthbound, because it still has its rabid fan base, I think it would sell quite well.
Oh, absolutely. I think the, you know, they did it with Zelda, Link's Awakening, doing the remaster, remake. I think the RPG, Super Mario RPG, is kind of another dipping the toe in the water just to see if it's really still there. Now they know that there's a market for, you know, remakes and remasters. There's going to be a lot of stuff that they're going to go back to and just remake and remaster because they know we're going to buy it.
Yeah, and I would buy it day one. You know, it's consistently in all of my top lists that we do on this show. And it would be cool if that led to Mother 3 finally getting released in North America, which then goes into what I think is my boldest prediction. I've complained about this ad nauseum. And you have too. Mm-hmm. That eShop on the Switch is atrocious.
Abysmal.
I cannot stand it. So I think they're going to improve it. I hope they go back to something that was similar to the one on the Wii, the Virtual Console, because it was great. I think they should have, if you want to do, like, let's say it's going to be called the Super Nintendo Switch or the Switch 2. You keep the Switch online where you have your section of NES games, etc. NES, SNES, N64, and GameCube games available at launch.
Yes.
GameCube games, give me Luigi's Mansion, Smash Brothers Melee, the Resident Evil remake, Wind Waker, and Mario Sunshine.
And Paper Mario as well.
Ooh, yeah. Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door. Because that remake's coming out, too.
And not only that,
in early 2024.
All the Rogue Squadron games as well. Those were so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The N64 one doesn't get enough credit. But it's that Rogue Squadron 2 game for the GameCube. Man, I put so many hours into that.
Those were so good. They need to. They just need to be optimized. That they don't even need to be remade or anything. Just optimize them to replay the way they were, but just play, you know, smoother on a new console. I'll be right back in.
I think you got to put some GameCube games out at launch.
100%. And
they just need to listen to us.
They never will. That's why these are just predictions. I do have one more crazy prediction to add to everything.
Okay.
The new console will be VR upgradable. And by that, I mean, I think Nintendo was the first through the door by 25 years. And Rampage in the chat room says, Wally forgot to submit his predictions, says, tell them I'm coming. But as far as the VR goes, you know, Nintendo was first through the door 25 years too early with VR and the Virtual Boy. That thing was just terrible. They're very shy about doing stuff that has failed them in the past. But with the VR getting better, you know, with the Oculus and all that stuff getting better, Apple's about to come out with their headset. I think Nintendo might make this, you know, compatible with other headsets or come out with a headset of their own and then start putting some of their games out that are VR, you know, VR versions of the games. I think it may take a couple of years. It ain't going to be till, like, I say by 2026, Nintendo will be back into the VR space with an add-on to the new console that you could be able to do VR with the new console.
I'll be 40 years old by then.
I'll be like, I don't even want to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. You know, you look at how popular, you know, the Oculus?
Yeah.
It's really cool. I don't know if you've ever tried one, but
never have.
It's pretty legit. And I think, you know, yeah, it's failed Nintendo in the past, but they've also shown that they're not afraid to, you know, do something different.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what happened with the Wii and with the Switch.
Yep.
So I don't really see Microsoft or Sony beating down the door of VR. So why not?
Like I said, if anybody can pull it off and make it mainstream, it's going to be Nintendo. And I think with Apple's new VR headset coming out soon, that's going to be the what would you call it? Like, that's going to be the
guinea pig.
Yeah, the guinea pig for Nintendo to see what happens with Apple's headset. If it takes off, does well, Nintendo might dip their toes back in that water again.
Just think of actually being in, like, the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah.
Or Hyrule. That'd be cool.
Imagine.
Or flying an R-Wing in Star Fox in VR would be so cool.
Mario Kart in VR.
Oh,
how
yeah.
How cool would that be?
Absolutely. I'd love that. I'd love if they dipped their toe into VR.
I mean, I'd get it.
It'd be expensive, but I'd have to get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be cheap. You know, I mean, VR is pretty expensive as it is. So, you know, it's going to be pretty expensive.
Mr. Phelps has joined the chat.
He says, Apple, what is Apple's heads what? I can't read it. There's a
Apple's headset.
Apple's headset is already out, so obviously this is a moot point. But that headset is for mainly for developers at this point. It's not, they didn't really mean it for mass consumers at this point because there's nothing to do on it yet.
I don't really know much about it, so I can't really comment.
But that's why they put it out there, so people would start making stuff for it. And then it's going to take off after if somebody's got to actually make, like, the killer app for VR to actually take off.
Right.
Nintendo would be the one to do that. I mean, think if they just came out with Mario Kart for VR, I'm down.
They kind of have it in a way where, like, they have the physical. I think you can get Mario or Luigi, and it's actually like a figurine of them in a cart, and you can play it on the Switch and you can physically move it like a remote control car and you can see the viewpoint on the cart.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. So yeah, if they did a Mario Kart VR game, I'd totally be down.
I know I said it, Wally. I got it written down right here. But yeah, the Apple thing, I mean, it's not going to take off for a little while because people still are very weary of VR at this point. Like I said, there's not that killer app. It's not easily available. But once it does, I think, you know, once it becomes cheap enough for people to just go say, you know, I'll go spend, you know, a decent amount of money for a good headset. That might be Nintendo's doing. Who knows? It probably won't be Apple's because who has, you know, $8,000 to go slap down for a freaking headset? Nobody's going to do that. But once they get it to where it's cheaper, somebody puts out something good for it, you know, might take off.
Have to set aside a couple of paychecks for it.
Yeah, no kidding. And before we go, let's see. We did have some submissions in our Discord for some predictions. And if you want to join our Discord, go to nerdcaveretro.com and click that big old tab that says Nerdcave Retro Discord. And that'll take you right here. And in our thing here in Discord, up first, we got Knife, who says, more Sony exclusives being ported to Nintendo consoles. MLB The Show isn't a bad port at all, in my opinion. Reboot F-Zero, please. Yes, please reboot F-Zero, especially if it's in VR. That'd be awesome. Pretend the Wii U never existed. Oh, they've already been doing that.
Yeah.
Release a companion phone app for the next gen where you can buy digital games similar to Steam app. I like that. If I could have a much better way to buy the games than that crap store, if they don't want to actually, like, you know, make it usable, give me an app where I can just go buy stuff that actually works. More movie releases, a Donkey Kong movie, Mega Man, etc. I'm for that.
I do think we will be getting a Donkey Kong movie as a spinoff to Super Mario Brothers. I think we'll get the Mario Brothers sequel first, and then we'll get... I'd love just an adaptation of Donkey Kong Country.
That'd be cool.
That'd be so freaking good.
Yeah, because I liked Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. I ain't going to lie.
I thought he was great. I love that whole movie. That whole cast was much better than I expected. Mm-hmm.
You want to read Morley's?
Yeah, for sure. Next up, we have Morley 316. Wonder if he's related to Austin 316.
Oh, maybe.
I have to ask. Number five, ignore users and make wrong decisions whilst making a load of cash. Number four, ignore users and make wrong decisions whilst making a load of cash. Number three, this is a shocker, ignore users and make wrong decisions whilst making a load of cash.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not. Number two, ignore users that make wrong decisions whilst making a load of cash. And number one, annoy Jason massively in all caps.
I all of those, yes.
Yeah, probably. That's the most realistic one I've seen.
Nintendo gonna Nintendo.
Yep. That should be our next shirt.
Yeah. I can make that very easily. I am the Rampage. Says disappointment, and more movies coming soon, and honorable mentions, more disappointments.
I will say he did mention that he was excited for the Zelda movie. He said it on Twitter.
Unless they make Machine Gun Kelly, Link, and then my anger might actually ignite the atmosphere and destroy the Earth.
They should do that as a joke and then announce who's actually playing Link.
Dude.
Just because I would want to watch the internet melt.
You just want me to have a heart attack, don't you?
I'd probably be more upset than you would be. Now, I don't know who's going to play all the characters. That's like its own separate podcast. Next up, we have Brandon Rutledge. Some of these are wishful thinking, needless to say. Honorable mention, record 75-plus rants about Nintendo by Nerdcave Retro. Hmm. Probably going to happen. Number five, announcement of the GameCube Mini. That would actually be really cool.
Yeah.
I would get a GameCube Mini in a heartbeat. Number four, Xenogears port to Switch. I've never played any of those games, but I feel like every time Nintendo does a Direct, they announce one of them. Number three, English port of Mother 3 coming to the Switch. Would love to see that happen. Mm-hmm. Number two, new Star Fox game. Yep, would love to see that as well. And number one, announcement of a new console. What would you put the percentage at as far as your optimism or your belief that we will get at least an announcement?
I'm pretty much, I'd say at about 65% that we're going to get an announcement in quarter one of 2024.
Okay.
My buddy Jake O'Malfoy, Mr. Jacob Craig over at the Open Micers podcast, says, number five, more major blockbusters with the success of the Sonic and Mario movies, as well as the announcements of a Legend of Zelda movie, there are bound to be more properties hitting the big screen. Would love a Metroid movie or a Donkey Kong spinoff. If they do Metroid, they got to do it like rated R. They never will, but that's the only way you could do that movie.
I know we disagree about Zelda being live action, but Metroid has to be live action.
100%.
Do it in the style of Alien would be so good.
Let's see. Number four, lots of disappointed fans. Projects like the Princess Peach game are fun for something different, but how long can you ignore what the fans want in favor of producing seemingly random games? Truth, because they're saving all the main stuff for the new console. Three, more pointless game remakes. How many Pokemon games can you re-release? Two, either developing a better gaming engine or halting production of next-gen games for the Switch. Their release of Mortal Kombat 1 was a nightmare. Next-gen console games are just too much for the Switch and possibly even the Switch 2. That's why I say the Switch 2 is going to be very powerful under the hood, and it's going to cost a lot more money than the Switch did. And number one, continued domination of handheld gaming. Nintendo has completely cornered the market on this and will likely continue to be the only company still producing handheld technology. I mean, other than the Steam Deck, I mean, he's right. I mean, that's really their only competition. So if they put out something comparable to the Steam Deck, they're still in the game, always will be.
The only rebuttal I have for his number three about game remakes, If they were to remake the original Pokemon game as an open world, which is what they should have done, that would make stupid money.
Yeah.
Absolutely stupid money. Like, I would have bought that day one, and I would still be playing it because I love the original Pokemon games.
Yeah.
I don't know why they haven't yet. Next up, we have Raven Ghostpaw. With the recent success of Mario RPG, maybe a solo game with Geno or Bowser. That would actually be really cool because Geno was a really popular character. He's an original character for this game and hasn't been in another game since. So I think that would actually be quite cool. I hope maybe Metroid Prime 4, though I doubt it. We've got our fingers crossed for that. Uh-huh. Number one, going to either pull out a new console idea or another version of the Switch. And he says, and that's all I got with my smooth brain.
I don't think they're going to veer farther away from what the Switch is, a handheld hybrid console. It just needs to have more power under the hood is all it is. Yeah. Coming in just under the wire, exactly 5 minutes ago, Mr. Wally Phelps, the real big wall, slides in with five. Finally, it will make me really wish they would port first-party games to another console because I only like two or three of them over the seven-year console cycle. Let's see. It will number four, it will have one gimmick that looks really stupid but works pretty good. Switch 2 will have one gimmick that looks really stupid. Number three, it will be a little less powerful than the Xbox Series S. I actually disagree there. I think it'll be on par with a Series S. Number two, will enjoy success with the theme park lands. That, yes, I think the theme parks are going to do really well. Mm-hmm. And number one, they will not do Game Pass. Nintendo does not need Microsoft as much as Microsoft would need Nintendo, and they know that. They will not work with a Western company with a product that frankly probably won't run a lot of the games that the more powerful consoles can, so it would only stream more graphically intensive games. This would be an issue with Nintendo's history of issues with online platforms. I mean, I see what you're saying, but you'll have to go back and listen to my prediction. I think Nintendo knows that their online issues suck. They're gonna somebody has to let the head of Nintendo, the head guys at Nintendo, head men and women, that their online presence is freaking terrible. They have to fix it. They have to have a console that's capable of playing modern gen stuff. And, you know, I know they don't need Microsoft, but they don't have anything to lose by putting Game Pass on a console if it can run all those games. They don't have anything to lose. They don't have anything. I mean, they'll gain more people buying the new Nintendo Switch 2 or whatever it's called. If it's more powerful, it'll cost more, but it'll be more powerful, can play the stuff. They'll get those people who are on the fence. You know, that's just my weird prediction. So probably won't come true, but if it does, you know, I'll rub it in your face.
We got to come up with some kind of stipulation for whether or not this comes true.
Yeah, well, most of our predictions won't see, you know, come to fruition for at least a year and a half. So we'll come back in a year and a half, and see if any of these predictions have come true.
Yeah, let's see. Rampage says, I disagree. They don't have to fix anything because they're Nintendo and they know it.
I don't know. I mean, I think they know that their stuff sucks, but if they're going to keep breaking in the money, they have to keep up with the times at some point. They have to. I mean, they have to know that their online stuff sucks. They just have to.
It's going to be very interesting.
You can't suck that hard and not know it.
True. I think we should do more episodes like this. I've really enjoyed this discussion.
Yeah, I like it. This is and plus it kind of helps us out, because, you know, like this time of the year, it's rough to try and review a game every week because there's so much stuff going on. So I like these discussions like this. We should definitely do this more.
Yeah. Let the people in the Discord decide.
Yep.
What we want to talk about.
So Wally, we'll come back. We got another 5 years to see how all this pans out. So we'll come back in about a year and a half, and we'll see. Once the new console comes out, we'll see if Game Pass is on it or not. We'll see what the new console has under the hood. We'll come back and we'll do a video where me and Wally and you will listen to this episode and see what predictions came true or not. And I'll eat crow if Game Pass is not on the new Switch.
A big old bowl?
Big old bowl of crow. but that's going to bring us to the end of the episode. Derek, what is going on with the Derek Diamond Experience? I know you got the remastered episodes coming out, the archives.
Well, I did release a new episode this week. I got to talk with Rick Cosnett, who played Detective Eddie Thawne in the CW Flash series. Really cool chat. Really nice guy. I got to talk with him about, you know, his time on the show, some of his upcoming projects. It was part of a press junket, so it's not a very long interview. But if you're a fan of The Flash, definitely go check it out. You can check it out on my podcast feed on the YouTube channel. You can head over to linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast to check that out and subscribe.
Yeah, I'll be listening to it tomorrow, so I'll let you know when I get done with it.
Okay.
Go check out my other podcast with me and Mr. Jacob Craig over at Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram. We got to talk with comedian Derek Sheen this week, and it was a really good episode. Drops if you're watching this live, it drops tomorrow morning. Some of you in the chat room are actually Patreons of Open Micers, so you can go listen to it right now. So if you want to be a Patreon of this show or Open Micers, please, I need your money. So go give us your money at either place, or both, if you're so inclined to do so. But Derek, I think that's gonna be everything. Is that it before we walk out the
door? I think so.
Let's get out of here. If you want to email us, please email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree. That includes all of our social media, our Patreon, our merch shop, and we even have a Cash App and PayPal on there. If you don't want to do Patreon, but you want to keep us going, give us a little scratch, you can do two ways, Cash App and PayPal. Or if you want to go get some merch at our merch shop, ncrmerch.com, get you some t-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever your nerdy little heart desires. And if you can't support us monetarily, please go leave us a review and or a 5-star rating on whatever podcasting platform you listen to. And Derek, that's going to be everything. So please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes.
Hey, paisanos, it's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at BRezCoffeeCo.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to BRezCoffeeCo.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.